Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
For 120 years, Mount Carmel College of Nursing has prepared nurses to serve our communities. Here, our students can earn their Bachelor of Science in Nursing degree and take their education all the way to a Doctor of Nursing practice with small class sizes and help every step of the way. Want to learn more? Visit mccn.edu/visit to schedule your campus visit today. That's mccn.edu/visit.
Moncrief on News Talk.
Now, you'll be familiar with the issue surrounding young people and the use of screens, and how it seems to be contributing to a great many mental health issues. Writing in the Irish Examiner today, the child psychologist Coleman Nochter suggests one rather old-fashioned way of helping to address it, the youth club. Coleman, good afternoon.
Afternoon, Sean.
I was very struck in your piece by your revelation that so many young people who come into you are afflicted with loneliness.
Yeah, I mean, if you'd asked me a few years ago what's the dominant theme in the therapy room, I would have said anxiety, and it certainly was. But coming up in a close second more recently, and probably in the last few years, is loneliness. And, you know, again, youngsters probably in their teens, not primary school children, but in their teens, and certainly into their late teens and early 20s, almost like an emptiness, Sean, if I can be honest with you. There's a lack of real life face-to-face connection, lack of relationships of quality, and I think, you know, when you look into it, it's fairly global at this point. You know, there's research from the States that said, you know, for years people were asked, you know, how many people would you feel really close to, and the average answer is around 4 or 5, and in the last few years it's between 0 and 1. And I think maybe a side effect of how our society has become more disconnected, but yeah, no, loneliness is a huge problem.
Yeah. So but do you see this as specifically a problem that's particularly acute for teenagers, or maybe it's just a problem for all of us?
I think it's probably a problem for all of us, to be honest. You know, I was only chatting to someone recently about, you know, how do you make friends in your 40s? Do you know what I mean? It's very difficult, you know, because you're supposed to have these things established. And, you know, I've lots of young people come in to me and they're saying, you know, what can I do? Where can I like... And you're thinking about things like walking clubs or book clubs, or, you know, or some sort of tag rugby or something along those lines to try and create opportunities. But I don't know whether there is a lot, you know, for them to be able to do. Like, most of the stuff tends to be online. I think the dating app stuff has really, you know, damaged the capacity for meeting people for romantic and intimate relationships. And I hear a lot of people discussing how difficult that is. And, you know, it's... I suppose the theme of the column was around trying to create spaces for people to gather. I genuinely think we've so many opportunities to gather that are gone from society. Say, for example, you know, people say, oh, I only meet you at funerals and weddings. Like, even things like religious orders, no matter what you thought of them, they were good for organizing gatherings and comings together and that sense of a community or a space. And for teenagers, I think we're seeing the first group of teens who kind of didn't grow up on the street or the road. And, you know, there's a real social atrophy for that. I think there's so many of those skills that they don't have, that they didn't learn through that. And they're just, I do feel there's an appetite for it. But like, say, for example, teenage boys, I just don't think they have the infrastructure to know how to meet up or say to someone, do you want to go and see a movie on Saturday, or will we hang out? And loads of the teenagers that I see their friends in school, but they don't see them outside of that. And another side of it is so much of teenagers' activities are adult-led. Like people say, I would say to parents, they are social. They go to GAA on Tuesday and soccer on Wednesday. That's not a social gathering. Like I train an under 16 team. The lads come and for 5 minutes they mess around and then it's drills and concentration. And if they're chatting or messing, you kind of would separate them to kind of, you know, say, lads, shush now, we have to. And then they have 5 minutes when they go to the car. Like what I'm talking about is a free, unstructured space for them to just shoot the breeze. And I genuinely think because we don't offer them that in the offline world, we can't be surprised when they all migrate into the online world to almost get that appetite met, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So obviously school isn't providing any of this.
Yeah, well, like I was only chatting to my own son about this and he said, like, the only time you have is break times. Do you know what I mean? To hang out. Do you know what I mean? And before, like I would have said, I used to get the 65 bus from Blessington into Temple Oak for my school. And that was my laboratory of life. Do you know what I mean? Learned everything I needed to know on that bus. Do you know what I mean? But so many kids don't get buses. They just get dropped or collected or whatever the case may be. And so we're reducing that time for teenagers to just, like, even like if I think about my own adolescence, so much, what percentage of that was spent sitting on a green chatting and doing nothing? I would say a huge percentage of it. And the tech industry, you know, is designed, Sean, that's almost doesn't happen. So if we were playing a computer game or on our Commodore 64 or something in the 90s, we'd have two joysticks and we'd play together. If kids want to play on a game now, they have to go back to their own houses in order to play online together. Does that make sense?
And yeah. So
almost as technology wants us to be as virtually connected and dependent as possible, but as physically disparate and disconnected as possible.
And as you say in the piece, one possible answer might be youth clubs. Do we still have youth clubs?
They do. They exist. And like I've been saying this for a long time, but the biggest problem is to try and make a youth club cool. Do you know what I mean? Mm. I think it's seen as some sort of relic from the past. And, you know, in terms of there were youth clubs when I was growing up and I remember going and being part of them. But the way in which I think teenagers see it now is, and almost because of that social atrophy, there's a kind of a sense of going to a youth club would be intimidating, or I don't know how I'd manage that. And it's a bit like some of the teenagers who say, God, I'd really struggle to make a phone call. You know, those kind of baseline social skills almost prohibit them from doing it. But there are, I mean, the No Name Club was the one that they had the media release last week, which I based the column on, where they, I mean, their numbers are fairly small, but the impact of the kids who attend that is their well-being is much better. They have much better connections. They have better autonomy. And I just think if we could make the youth club cool again, and to try and use it as a space for youngsters, because I do think it's a traditional solution to a contemporary problem.
Mm. That might be a problem from a parental point of view, and that they might regard the youth club as, you know, where the troubled teens go to.
Yeah, and again, I would have seen that. I worked in London in the late 90s, but the youth club for in those kind of disadvantaged area where there's gang culture was kind of a beacon of hope amongst that in many ways. But, you know, what I would say is that we need to, you know, almost as parents, you know, that idea of safetyism, we almost need to give teenagers more autonomy and more freedom to, you know, to make choices. And I mean, we seem to overprotect them in the real world and underprotect them in the online world. But to create that space, and youngsters would say that if they hang around, like I've heard lots of teenagers say that in more than two or three, they're deemed to be up to no good. They're almost an assumption that there's some antisocial behavior going on. And these would be good kids, you know, who wouldn't be that way inclined at all. And so they don't feel welcome in many of the public spaces. And so for me, the youth club is an option where they could be. And again, I would think the adult involvement needs to be minimal. You need to be there to facilitate the interaction, and then you need to step back, you know, and allow them to do it themselves. Because I think, as I said, that adult ledness is, it's not encouraging youngsters to become good autonomous decision makers when we're kind of making all those decisions for them. And I think lots of teenagers would embrace an opportunity for more independence and being able to make those decisions. But maybe we're not allowing them the opportunity to do that.
Yeah. In no-name clubs, what happens? What are the activities there?
I mean, I think there is quite a hangout place, but they also do lots of kind of personal development stuff. So they bring in things like, if you're interested in media production and things like that, they might bring in someone who teach you how to use that equipment. There's also kind of, I think they do have times for kind of, if not formal chats, but chats around emotional expression and allowing people. But it's mainly just a space to gather. And I think And I don't think we need to, these things need to be overly structured. I think they're like, if you had a room in a GAA club, but a few beanbags and a bit of music and allowed people to go. And I think, like, we could, one of the themes I was thinking of is the cool camps model really works for smaller children when you have older kids who are kind of running the show. Do you know what I mean? And I would say if you had a cool few 18 to 20, 22 year olds who kind of took over the youth club, you'd find that the 15, 16, 17 year olds might be more keen to go into that rather than someone like me in their mid 40s who's kind of running it. Does that make sense?
So yeah.
It's trying to create some sort of an appeal. But I think, I do think it's a marketing exercise. But I also think kids, teenagers are maybe turning down the option of this because they don't know, it's not what they want, but it's what they need. And you and I have had experiences where we go, oh, I wouldn't like that. I would, and then you end up doing it and really enjoying it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And I think if youngsters gave the youth clubs a chance and was a chance to be around their pals and everything else like that, that they'd go back again. And again, it's trying to get over that hump of making it appealing to teenagers. But I just think they need that space. I need that they need those opportunities to gather, and they need maybe the equivalent of the 65 bus, if that makes sense.
Are there any countries in Europe, say, that do have functioning youth clubs that have a system of that?
They do. The Danish model is it's quite a professional model. These are organized, they're after school hours, and they have all fully trained professionals who run the thing. So it's very it's highly invested in, and it works very well. German model similar to that as well. And, you know, always, as always, we look to the Nordic countries. They seem to be able to lead the way in lots of these things, but they don't seem to have the reputational issue that it being uncool. I think they've somehow seemed to overcome that. But yes, there are models there, but it comes down to funding. And a lot of the reasons, like, I know colleagues of mine who have started up community youth clubs in a place in Loud, and, you know, just they'd love to expand it and they have the interest, but the funding model isn't there. And I think, you know, when we think of the lives of teenagers, this is that informal space to gather is something that I don't think we value, because, you know, in lots of ways, Sean, we kind of see adolescence as an apprenticeship to our adulthood. So when we send our kid to something, there has to be some dividend, or they have to get better at a skill, or they have to be a potential premiership footballer or a county footballer or whatever it might be. We underestimate the value of just having some downtime to be with your friends and chill out, because there's no dividend for it. But psychologically and emotionally, without that, the loneliness that comes with it, and loneliness is phenomenally challenging to our mental health. It's the one thing that we can say without a doubt makes our mental health worse.
Yeah.
I think we're probably the loneliest society that has existed. And we need to, you know, we've come from tribes. That's our evolutionary perspective. And we need to almost create spaces for the tribe to exist again.
Yeah, indeed. On a related note, Coleman will be giving a talk on the 29th of May at Tyndall College in Carlow. It's called Disconnect and Reconnect. It deals with many of those issues. You can get tickets on Eventbrite. Dr. Coleman Nochter is a child psychotherapist and one of Ireland's leading under-16 coaches. Coleman, thank you very much.
Thanks very much. Bye-bye.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.